Welcome to A View from the Bridge, the unofficial podcast for the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. My name is Patrick Smith.
And I'm Connor Caldwell. You're very welcome to the pre-season edition of A View from the Bridge for the new year. So we hope there's a few of you out there listening, and we promise to be back more regularly than we were last year.
If you, View from the Bridge gives you all the news and views of the... Who's our sponsor tonight? The Stenaline, Belfast Giants.
And the Thanks, Mike McGrath.
And the Elite Ice Hockey League. How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, it's going pretty well. It's been a while since we've seen or talked to each other. The absence of ice hockey does strange things, doesn't it?
Sort of put this on the shelf for a season, this old podcast thing, but sort of got kicked back in the gear. And I know myself, I was asked to be on the Pucks Across the Pond podcast last week with the guys in there, so I recommend tuning in. It sort of kicked myself in the gear and maybe bringing this back, and hopefully in the weeks to come we can revive what once was great.
Absolutely, and I think on we can genuinely say from the forum, back by somewhat popular demand.
Yeah, we had so, two people. Brilliant. Hey. But no, it's been well. We're right in the middle of the off season. I think we've only got a couple of weeks before the season begins, so all teams are sort of winding up, and gearing themselves for the start of the new season, and not least the Belfast Giants. But last season, we weren't about ourselves, mate. But it was maybe give us a highlight or two of how the Giants got on.
Well, I suppose it was the sort of a season that Giants fans have typically come to expect, up there and challenging for honours, and really not just not bringing it home when it counted. The season culminated in a big, I think it was a doubleheader with Sheffield over here, and we ended up losing out on the league, finishing second place by a couple of points. Semi-final defeats in the Challenge Cup to the Panthers, semi-finals in the playoffs to the Devils. Just really, really standard fare, I would say.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a season that promised so much but delivered so little, which was really unfortunate. I know that we took a lot of injuries early on, but then you know, as is the nature of the beast in this sport and in this league. But I think all in all, quite a disappointing season. Not to say it didn't have its highlights. I think one of the major ones had to be, well, the visit of the now Stanley Cup champions, the Boston Bruins.
Well, I mean, what an amazing night that was. And, of course, we'd like to claim some of the success of the Bruins. You know, I think if they hadn't got such a difficult match so early in the season, it probably would have been very hard for them to pick up the Stanley Cup. So, that was just a fantastic night. And not just for us as Giants fans, but for everyone in the league. There was plenty of travel and support, and it's just a shame a Giants player didn't get a goal. I think we'd really remember that. That would be something really special. Slightly unfortunate, it had to be a Panthers player that got it.
I've wiped that from my memory bank. Thanks for that, mate. I sort of tried to ignore the fact that of the identity of that goal scorer. I just like to remember the fact that the scoreboard read Giants 1 Bruins 0, but I agree, I'd like to think that goal shook them into gear for the season, thinking to themselves, you know, we've got to actually play here, and then led them all the way to the middle of June and defeating the Vancouver Canucks, which was
there's got to be a certain irony in there that when the Bruins defeated the Canucks, there was a riot in Vancouver.
Indeed.
But Belfast bookending the season for the Bruins. So,
I think it was. But as you say, it was. That was a one hell of a night, and so many factors in that night made it so very special. It was probably maybe a sight you never thought you'd see, especially in the Odyssey of an NHL team, be it the Bruins or anybody, up against a team of players wearing the Belfast Giants shirt. And I'm sure the likes of Todd Kelman and Jim Gillespie and all everybody involved in the Giants were just, you know, delighted and overwhelmed by the night that we witnessed. I know that myself as a fan, yourself and a hell of a lot of the guys, you know, saw that as being one of the key nights in Giants history.
I think so, and in many ways, I think there was almost it was almost a culmination for a lot of people, maybe more so like yourself, Paddy, who've been around for the full 10 years, to see such a big team come over. And I wonder, was the rest of the season an anticlimax out of that, or after that? There was a sense of the Giants having arrived properly as a, you know, on the hockey map, and maybe just the rest of the season, especially with the injuries and the disappointment towards the end of it, was just a bit of an anticlimax. But I mean, let that take nothing away from the weekend that was in it. It was superb, and that standard of hockey was good. You know, the Giants were obviously under the cosh for almost the entire for the entire game before the goal went in, and then it just seemed to anger the Bruins, and it was almost as if we just sort of sat down from celebrating the goal and looked up and it was 3-1.
They were
just a different class.
They dropped from moved from first gear to fifth, and in a blink of the eye they were out of sight. It was a sight to behold, to be honest. It was sort of a real wake-up call as to the gulf in standard between the players that we watch week in, week out, and those that are in the big bucks across the pond.
But it's relative as well, because I think often you see, say the Giants or some of the bigger teams are struggling, you know, with due respect, away to a team like Hull or away to Dundee. And well, we've seen a good example, actually, is the amount of times this has happened in Edinburgh, when we're always over for the traditional pre-Christmas doubleheader. And especially the first night, Edinburgh seemed to hold out or be winning the game. And then come the end of the second period, the Giants seemed to click into a different gear, and then it's goal, 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 goal. And before you know it, the game's out of reach. I suppose it's a wider question in sports, is that sometimes it takes that the goal or the, just to wake up the team that has more talent.
Maybe a mild complacency that needs to be shook out of, that maybe did it for the Bruins, or maybe they were just toying with us.
Well,
but coming back to your point of the anti-climax, I think that I'd love to know how much it was geared up towards that Bruins game, because of course not the entire Giants team took part in it. I think the season that came, I think there was sort of two different seasons for the Giants last season. There was the pre-October the 3rd or whatever that date was, the pre-Bruins game, and the post-Bruins game. And I remember the pre-Bruins game of an all-out attack Giants, and then the post-Bruins game of injuries that became quite stagnant hockey. And my views on this have been across the forum for months. They're no secret as to where I think a lot of a lot of the reason lies behind the standard of the hockey game. But some negative coaching tactics, I thought, led to some, unfortunately, quite dull hockey to watch. And I know that Christensen in his I know there's going to be some people listening going, oh God, here he goes again. But I know Christensen in his like blogs and things came across saying, you know, with our injuries, we have to play what he referred to as vanilla style hockey, you know. And that sort of, you know, is all right in itself, because it's, you know that when you take the injuries, you know, you've got to consolidate the loss, and you've got to basically play a game that you think is going to be get you the outcome that you need with the players you have. But when we went into that Christmas period, which was an absolute disaster in the end, we still had a lot of things within our grasp, and unfortunately it was the Christmas period that sort of collapsed down around us. And considering how close the league ended up, a matter of single digit points, it was a sort of a Christmas period of what could have been. In my opinion, I thought after that Christmas period we were dead and buried. We did very well to sort of come up on the rails and end up challenging right to the last week or two. But unfortunately, again, I think it's what could have been.
Well, I think that's almost every year that we don't win the league, which is obviously more years than not. It almost is, well, not necessarily the Christmas period, but it's nearly always that same story. You look at a particular period of the season where you dropped, you know, you had a tough weekend and you dropped a point away in, well, what previously would have been Basingstoke, or you, like, just silly points to drop here and there. And I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, the infamous Newcastle game at the Odyssey, where we played Newcastle, who had about four skaters, and lost the game on penalty shots. And I think that was almost crucial in how the league turned out. There was very few points, and I think maybe lost by a point or two at the end, and didn't deserve anything from the game for the way we played. But I suppose anytime you don't win a league, you can always look back to a particular period and say, well, if only we'd picked up more points then. But it's so difficult to maintain that level of consistency, and year upon year between the top four, there's so little to choose. It's just maybe whoever gets that wee bit of luck and wins the two shootouts that they're in, or gets that goal in overtime,
yeah,
that separates the teams. I think particularly between the top four or five teams, there is so little to choose in terms of a standard of players. But one thing I would comment on is, you were talking about the injuries that we suffered last year. And I think it's been a theme, and I suppose it's not just for the Giants, for other teams as well. But I think in this league, injuries play a huge part, because the type of player that we can afford in this league is the player who has the potential to be a good AHL player, but for some reason or other doesn't quite fulfill that potential. And a lot of the time the reason is that they're injured. So if you get a guy who's maybe 27 years of age, he's coming over to play here, who looks like he had a season where he could maybe have done well at the AHL level, then he gets a few injuries and subsequently his value drops to allow a team in the elite league to afford him. But the reason his value has dropped is because he's injury prone. And so when you take him over to this league, I don't think it's really valid to complain about players getting injured, because you know that before you sign them, that you know the reason their value has dropped is not because they're a bad hockey player, it's because they can't play 50 games a year. So I'd be interested to see if the Giants learn from that this year, or if any of the Elite League teams maybe move towards getting players who can just play more games, and so they can get a consistent style of play going.
I take your point. I wouldn't say that would be the case for all standard of import that comes over here, because we do get the odd, you know, gem, the likes of the Suez character and all. I would say that there are, not more often than not, but there are quite a few players who have come over here with maybe a slight history of injuries, and there's no real, Andrew Martin maybe comes to mind, there's no real surprise that when they take a repetitive injury that they're out, and they show flashes of brilliance but are hampered by that ongoing knee problem or that ongoing ankle problem or whatnot. However, I think the Elite League, in regards to standard of the AHL and speed and skill and physicality as well, is a whole different kettle of fish, to the point where maybe it wouldn't be as tough for, you know, a player that standard to survive without regaining an injury. And more often than not, it was probably just basic poor luck that an injury occurs. I know that, like, you look at like the Brandon Benedict last season. That wasn't a recurring injury. I wouldn't say he's necessarily injury prone, but there's two seasons in a row that he played for us that he did, you know, take an injury that put him out of a chunk of the season, and we sat around waiting for him to be, you know, well to come in and lead the line. But no, I certainly take your point on maybe a number of players who have come over with, like I say, that flash of brilliance, but a poor medical record.
Yeah, this is it.
But moving on, I think, well, we know that the reigning league champions are the Sheffield Steelers now coming into this new season, and the both cups were won by the team that will be playing our opening games, or our opening pre-season games against them, the Nottingham Panthers. But with regards to the Belfast Giants, there have been quite a few changes, as is always, to the roster. This week we'll be focusing on mainly the Brits, who have both come and gone. I think one of the, not a shock, but one of the big losses is the loss of Colin Shields to France.
Certainly it is. He's a player that we've come to know and love in Belfast over the last number of years, and it was his second stint with us there, and the fact that he was the captain of the team under, I think under different coaches as well, really shows, just exactly what he means to the squad. And he's one of those players I think we'll always remember fondly. He's maybe one of the first Brits really ever in this modern edition of elite hockey in this part of the world, that was first local player that was able to actually lead a team and lead from the front and put up huge numbers. And he's going to be badly missed.
I think Yeah, like you say, Colin Shields with the history that he's had, you know, playing in the States and playing the ECHL and playing in college and whatnot. And then he came, you know, back over here, and he was, you know, he is one of the leading Brits. He is one of the leading players in Team GB. He is, you know, a 40, 50, 60 point a season man. And one season even got 70 points to the Giants, you know. One of those players that in a league where import slots are luxury places is a man who doesn't need one and will produce as much, if not more, than an import player will. So losing a player like that is losing 60 points in a season and something that you really have to replace. I'm surprised he went to France. The French league, to me, in the games I've seen in the last, I saw a few games in the French league last season, and I didn't think it was that great. I didn't think it was that high a standard. So I think a player like Shields will go over there and rip the place apart.
That's what I was going to ask you. Did you think that this would be too big a jump up? Because we've seen so many times before, players that have really just outstanding seasons in a Giants uniform, they do take the money to go to especially Germany and Italy and Denmark, and just really don't cut the mustard immediately, and you see them cast off. But you think that Shields will be good enough for the standard in France and better?
I think he'd be one of the best players in the league in France. I think that considering the standard that I've seen play over there, I thought that Colin Shields would be one of the top players in any team over there. And I'm not surprised that I can't comment on wages, I can't comment on anything like that because you just don't know. But obviously there's a reason that he's taken him over there, whether he felt stagnant in Belfast, though he's been spending a lot of time over there, or whether he just wanted a change of scenery. But, you know, you're talking about a player, like I say, he had 70 points, just looking up the stats, I knew he had 70 points one season, but the following season he had 87. And 87 points in the elite league is, you know, is nothing to be sniffed at. So no. I have no idea that he can go over there, he could be a bit of a superstar in that league, and more power to him. He'll be missed in Belfast, despite the fact that a lot of people thought that, you know, his points production last season wasn't as great. He did pull out 67 points, and you know that's a player that will most certainly be missed. But he's not the only departure. Like, so Nathan Craze, long time backup for the Belfast Giants, is another one, and he's now taking up a starter's role over in Edinburgh.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know what you think about this, actually. I mean, I think people that have been watching the Giants for a long time, and Nathan Craze has really been involved in the club since I started going seriously, which is maybe 5 or 6 years ago now. I think it was only one season that he wasn't about. I think people have thought since then that he was good enough to take up a starting role. I'm not surprised that he's got too frustrated and has left. I mean, if I was him, I don't know that I would see a way past Stephen Murphy to the starter's role. I'm glad to see him get an opportunity to prove himself. I just wonder if going to Edinburgh, and with due respect to Edinburgh, maybe taking several beatings at different stages through the year is going to be good for his confidence. But at the same time, I mean, you have to learn, and it is about time that he give himself a chance. So, I mean, good luck to him. But, I mean, I'd be interested to hear what you think about this one.
I think it's about time. If he wants to prove himself as an elite league starter, then he had to at last take the bull by the horns and actually go for it. Because there's a lot of good young British netminders out there that are littered about, like the EPL, that get a regular start. And there's been a lot of chat about Nathan Craze being of such a high standard that, you know, he's a Team GB netminder, he's a potential elite league starter, he's this, he's that, he's the other, but he's found it fair enough just to train and sit on the bench with the Belfast Giants for the last three seasons? 2008 did he come back to us? And, you know, it's because he did phenomenally at Swindon. He did really well. I think he won the league with Bracknell in the EPL. Mm-hmm. And he had that famous stint with us where he helped by, he'd done a great job filling in as a backstop. But then to come to Belfast and spend 3-4 seasons opening a door. He got a few starts and he did well in those, but he wasn't getting a regular start. He was doing no more than training. Like I say, I can't comment on how good he is at training, but there are reports saying about, you know, in training he's good as this, in training he's good as that. Brilliant. But if you want to be an elite league starter, you need to take a chance and try to take that spot. But if you want to be a regular starter in the UK league, you know, what was wrong with him taking an EPL start if he was that good? Did he feel he was getting a better development than Belfast with the players? Quite possibly. But I'm pleased that he's, I'm not one of these people to buy who has bought into the fact that Nathan Craze is one of the best UK netminders around. I think that some of the guys that get a regular start, you look at some like Stevie Phone, who I've been a massive fan of for a long time. And Wall,
Kenny Bickerstaff as well.
Yeah, like Kenny Bickerstaff. You look at some of these. Let's not push the boat there. You look at some of these guys who are getting a regular start and getting regular opposition and getting regular play, and not in a training facility, but actual competitive games. And they to me are the ones who are probably getting better developed rather than doing it in training. I'd be very interested to see how. I wish him a lot of luck in Edinburgh. I think it's going to be a tough gig, because I'd be interested to see who Edinburgh bring in over the next couple of weeks to sort of help him along the back lines. But I wish him a lot of luck, and I hope that he does prove the potential that everybody believes he has as being one of the leading starting British netminders.
Yeah, well, I wonder if we should maybe try to talk to Nathan Craze before the summer's out and just hear what he has to say.
I'll leave that to you, because I don't think you'll want to talk to me after I've been slagging him off.
I just wonder, did Nathan the whole time, well, certainly the whole way through the last season, did he think he was very close to displacing Stephen Murphy?
Mm-hmm.
And if he did, and if he was indeed within the organisation, I mean, that means he's won a hell of a goaltender, because as we know, Stephen Murphy has been in fantastic form for two seasons with the Giants now, winning a KOTG MVP along the way. So I would be interested to, maybe we should try and get him on the podcast, and say thank you on behalf of the fans as well. He's always been a particular fan favourite, I think.
He's always got great support when he came in. He has always got great support when he's come in between the pipes, and rightly so. He's been a good servant to the Giants and done a hell of a good job for us. And
certainly the best backup netminder in the EIHL.
Yes, that the Giants have had, most certainly. Yeah. Most certainly.
Good luck to Nathan.
But he's been replaced by a local boy, Ballymoney lad, and Andrew Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great chance for young Deco. He has had his chance. He has had a few appearances for the Giants in various, not just for the Giants. I think he even came out once as a sort of a backup for the Capitals, I think it was, or he appeared for the Capitals one night. I'm pretty sure that's right. But a brilliant chance for this young lad to develop and coming into to the Giants.
Yes, indeed. He's a big lad as well. He's 6 feet tall. He'd cover plenty of the net. And well, it's obviously going to be a hugely steep learning curve for him this season. Mm. He won't have played anything like this level of hockey or faced these sort of players as regularly as he will now in the next sort of 10 months. He had a 3.5 goals against average with Invicta last season. Save percentage of 91%, which is, it's good. Mm-hmm. He's a young guy. And the Giants seem to have a habit of taking in these sort of players as well. And I think he'll improve very, very quickly. I suppose we'd be surprised how quickly someone in that position would improve just with the constant training and becoming a professional, especially. Again, good luck to him. It'll be. I can't see him getting too much game time. With all respect, especially given that how highly that Nathan Craze is valued and how little game time he got.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is the way we have seen it going this way over the last couple of years with all different teams, is to pick more and more local players, and he fits the bill. So certainly hope that he. he does well in a Giants jersey, and that he does get a bit of ice time. But you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, he's been playing well. He basically, you know, he'd been training with the Giants, and then Invicta in the NL, we're happy to pick him up, and he's, you know, that's always great for a young lad, especially considering the standard of, and you know, it's no disrespect to hockey in Northern Ireland, but it's, you know, when a player like that gets a chance to play in likes of the ENL or EPL, it's always great for the lad, and it'll have done wonders for his confidence, and for the Giants to come in and basically swipe him from Invicta to bring him into the Elite League again has got to be a confidence boost and a further development for what could be a great young player. So yeah, well done to him, and I really hope that he does well. I think another player of that standard, and another player we hope to do well, is young Gareth Roberts, who's returning for, you know, his professional contract, and he's playing with the Giants this season.
Indeed, yeah, and a very impressive debut season for the limited ice time that he got. I think he's certainly the most, I think we were all a wee bit surprised at how well he fitted in when he got a few shifts, and
Yeah. He's
a quick skater. He's made a decision himself to go and give this a go, and I mean, I certainly could see him fitting in there next season and maybe getting a few goals and getting his confidence up. You know, he'd be well supported as these players always are by the Giants following, and you know, well, fantastic to see him, and again, good luck. I'm sure he'll have a great year, and he'll continue the improvement he's shown last year. Like we keep saying, it's a big step up for these players, but he's already a season under his belt now, and all the training and a few games, and he knows the physicality that'll be expected of him, and also he's had a year to prepare for that physicality, but with all the gym work and all that sort of thing. So I think you can expect to see good stuff from Gareth Roberts next year.
I think there's a lot of hope. The fact that he's one of the guys, you can, it's rare that we can say this, that he's come through the ranks of the Junior Giants development scheme, and you know, and a player who's coming in from that, considering the likes of, you know, Mo and Walton were all playing hockey before the likes of the Giants, and this is a player who's come through the scheme with the Giants and has now got his contract with the Giants, and you know, he made his debut December of last year, and has done pretty well, and word has it from likes of Gav and stuff in the forum that he's been looking good in training, and that he's basically put a lot of time in to develop his fitness and develop his skill and basically up his game for the coming season. So it'll be interesting to see where he fits in, whether he be, you know, whether will he get a regular shift or not, or will he be used as some sort of like a utility forward, you know, to give a lot of the imports a bit of rest, and if that is his role, will he take that with aplomb and sort of show his skill that he's a better player than what that would suggest, which is what I hope does happen, because it'd be great to see a young lad like that develop into a great Giants player.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think he has the potential to be as impactful, or maybe more so than Mo was himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know what to make of the Giants listings on the vital stats on the website, because there's about seven players all named 5'10". I don't know if Gareth Roberts is as big as 5'10", but for someone around that height, you know, he's bulky, and obviously under all that kit, it's hard to know how much of that's muscle, but he certainly, when you saw him out there on the forecheck, I wouldn't like to be hit by him.
Mm.
And I can't imagine that too many imports would. So I think we always loved that about Mark Morrison, the fact that he was so aggressive on the forecheck.
Mm-hmm.
And just sometimes he happened to bounce off players
because
of his size. So, you know, I think he has an opportunity over the next couple of years to move into that sort of level. And he seems to offer maybe more going forward than Morrison did too. I think he has as much skill. And it was known as well before Gareth Roberts made the decision to sign, or he was offered the contract, that, you know, he was known as a very, very skillful player. And people used to talk about him before he was really playing seriously as, that guy's a really great hockey player, and, mm-hmm. you know, he should be playing for the Giants. And so it's good to see that prophecy fulfilling, and hopefully a great season out of him.
The sticking with local lads done good. The longest serving member of the Belfast Giants squad is the one and only Graham Walton, who's returning for another season at the back, which is always great news with Wally.
Okay, it is. Again, another fan favourite. He seems to be falling into some sort of level of consistency now as well. Certainly in terms of his... it was down maybe a wee bit in points, but that was probably due to not playing quite as many games last year as previous years, and he was down over 20 games for various reasons. But he's levelled out his penalty minutes as well, and there was one season there where he jumped up from 30 penalty minutes to 50 penalty minutes. That was between 06 and 07, and he's managed to actually get that going in a downward trend since then. Down to 42. So, I mean, I think Walton is particularly effective if he's not taking stupid penalties, which he sometimes has a tendency to do, the sort of holding and hooking and, you know, just the silly ones that maybe you can break up your momentum. So it'd be good to see him get back to grips for a full season this year and get a bit more ice time. But fantastic to see Graham back again. As the coach has put in on the website, that he's going to be a key player for us. His ability to play forward and defence allows us a lot of flexibility if we sustain injuries. He's played many years for the Giants and will be looked up to for leadership and professionalism, and I'm hoping he has a great season. And, you know, it's great to hear the coach say that he will be looked to for leadership and professionalism, which I think are certainly the second thing, and I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know how much leadership he shows, but certainly... for the vast majority of the time, he shows great professionalism both on and off the ice, in terms of how he deals with the fans and how he plays the game. He always does the simple thing, he never tries to over elaborate, and you know, he doesn't imagine himself as a great goal scorer. You'll never see him try to take the puck and beat four players and shoot as many other players have done in the past to their detriment. So he's a great player to have around, and good to see him back again.
I think you always know what you're getting with Wally. You know, I think he's a fabulous player, always been a fabulous player for the Giants as long as he's played there, and a great skater. And I think last season he was kind of hampered by maybe not being played as much as, you know, or not being played as much to his strengths as he maybe should have been. And you know, it may have been quite frustrating. I was actually wondering whether he would consider, you know, returning to the Giants, that the way that last season went for him. I didn't, the way he was playing and the way he was being played, I didn't think suited his game. Considering that he's been such a, like I say, a professional and such a player who Tomo wanted for Coventry and had nothing but great things to say when he was brought into the GB setup. He's a player who will always do that job at the back, especially now with the with Shane Johnson gone, and you know, the way it was time maybe for Walton to step up and be that lead Brit D-man. Well, Johnson wasn't a Brit, but you know what I mean. That lead D-man for carrying the Giants mantle. Him coming back into the squad this season, I hope benefits the team, and I hope benefits his own game, because Wally's got I'd say he's still got a good few seasons to play with us yet, and I'd hate for him to be not used to his full capacity, because we know he can play really well.
Yeah, well, I expect him to see him get plenty of time on the ice this year, to certainly move back up more towards that almost playing in every game stat you've come accustomed to seeing him get to. And yeah. But I suppose there's a few more Brits we need to talk about quickly, because we've been rambling on here a good bit. But I suppose the big thing we need to chat about is with Colin Shields moving on, who's going to step into that hole? And there seem to be plenty of possibilities, and we are only talking about the Brits this week. So, filling that non-import slot with as many points as Shields has put up over the last few years is difficult. Peacock and Garside and the new addition, Robert Dowd, I think we might be set.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that focusing first on Craig Peacock, well, what a player he has been since he's come in from Peterborough. Yeah, a lot of people thought, you know, he was a sort of a new kid on the block, but on Peterborough he was ripping up the EPL. You know, he's over 100 points in his last season with the Phantoms, and so the step in the way he had in his first season with the Giants when he gained 57, you know, what may have been a surprise to a lot of Elite League fans who'd never seen him before, but a lot of the guys I know down in the EPL shrugged their shoulders and said, well, what's new? He was always going to be that standard of player. And last season as well, in the second season with the Giants, he again had a phenomenal one of the leading Brits. And I'm actually quite surprised we got him again, and I'm delighted.
I couldn't believe whenever I'd heard the Giants had signed him again, because I think even at Christmas time last year, there was a lot of talk in the stands about, like, he was too good for the Giants, really. And I mean, obviously we love our franchise, but we thought that Craig Peacock was going to be one of those players that would push on, and it just how quickly he's developed. I mean, like you say, he had over 100 point season for Peterborough, and then started off with nearly 60 points in his first season and progressed from there. And you know, again, a player that doesn't really take an awful lot of penalty minutes for the games that he plays. Mm-hmm. And he brings other players into the game as well. He's not the sort of typical selfish type of player, the Mark Judium mould, who just is only out for his own shots. You know, he makes goals for his teammates, and yeah, it's exciting to have him from another year. I think he's so good that we'll struggle to hold him for the whole season. That if he comes out of the traps firing at the start of the year, he will create interest from Europe. Mm. Because I mean, teams are bound to have him on the radar. He's so fast. He shoots when you don't think there's a shot on, and the next thing you see is the net rippling. He's an exciting player to watch.
I definitely think Peacock can be one of our standout players this season. I think that he will step into that you know, that hole left by that significant hole left by Colin Shields, and I'd love to see him. You know. It's a testament to the organisation that Todd Kellman and the team that, you know, Doug Christensen has created, that Peacock has stuck around for another season, and I've no doubt in my mind that he's had offers elsewhere, but he's found it, you know, that Belfast is the place he wants to play, and Belfast is the team he wants to score for, which
I can't imagine there's a team in the league that didn't give him a phone call.
Absolutely. So it's a DSA. Kudos to Kellman and Christensen for holding on to this player, and hopefully we see more of the same. And I think that it'd be very interesting to see how competitive regards to point scoring is going to be between him and the new arrival. I think as our friend Mark Hitchcock once said to his face, "You're not Robert Dowd." Dowd coming in, I think a shock. It was certainly a shock for when Dowd jumped ship from the championship winning Steelers over to ourselves. A player who, you know, has more or less led the line in most teams he's played for, you know, from Billingham to the Scimitars to the Steelers, who snapped him up from the Scimitars after him only playing a few sort of feeder games on a two-way contract. And then Dowd has been one of their top Brits. And hopefully now that he's come over to us, he can replicate that sort of form in a Giants uniform.
Well, I totally agree. I just wonder if a big part in us being able to get Robert Dowd was the fact that Colin Shields moved on. Mm-hmm. And Shields being on that 2-year deal, being pretty much by far and away the best Brit in the league, would have been on one of the nicer salaries going around. So the fact that money then was freed up, maybe allowed us to swoop in for someone like Dowd and offer him a 1-year deal and say, well, you know, put yourself in the shop window and maybe Europe will come knocking at the end of the year. I find it more and more startling every year just how transitional this league is. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a baseball fan, I always thought that was the most transitional sport ever, where players are just there for maybe a few months and they move on.
Yeah.
But this league, I mean, it's almost too much to follow it over the summer. It's too much energy to follow it and all the comings and goings. And mm-hmm. You can, in theory, you can have an entirely new roster from year to year. And so I've sort of switched off it through June and July, and just coming back to it now to see who's gone and who's there. But a lot of the time as well, especially with the imports, you hardly get a chance to even get used to the player before they've moved on. Mm. And from year to year, you don't really remember. It's just the few that do great things that really, you know, stick out and stay in your memory. But Robert Dowd is the sort of player that has the potential to do that.
Yeah.
he's still very young and he's got a lot of hockey in front of him. But 61 points last year was nearly double what he got the previous season. The only thing I would say is, and I've mentioned this a few times about players, but he took an awful lot of penalty minutes last year for a forward. And I would like to see that go down, because I find the biggest momentum sapper in this league is if you give a forward or, well, defenseman too, who takes a really stupid penalty when you're really trying to press a team down. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can keep, obviously, it's obvious to say, but keep your penalty minutes down as much as possible is in the best interest of your club. But I wouldn't like to see those penalty numbers go up this season. Otherwise, I would start to worry a wee bit. But, I mean, yeah, this guy's got huge potential and there's a big space to fill, so hopefully he can do it or at least be part of the effort that fills that.
I think that one of the good things about Dowd for me is the fact that he's one of these players who's both, you know, fast, skillful, but doesn't mind grinding it out in the corners. You know, he's one of the first guys in there to try to get the puck out and create the assist. And I think that's, you know, a big thing for the Giants. And also on the power play, he could be a very key man in maybe trying to help us improve what was an all-in-all pretty poor power play system we had last year. I think that hole, as we said, with Shields has been can be roundly filled by the likes of Peacock and Dowd, and of course the return of East Kilbride's Mark Garside, one of the players who last season gave me one of the Giants Twitter feed asked for this season, off season, for your best moment of last season and your highlight of last season. And a lot of people were, understandably, were talking about, you know, the Boston Bruins and the scoreboard and whatever. But for me, my highlight was a goal that Mark Garside scored in Whitley Bay against Newcastle, which is one of the prettiest goals I've seen scored in a Giants shirt. Where
did he go all roof daddy?
Well, he sort of took it down to the right hand side of the goal, waited for Effinger to drop. And with the tightest of angles across the goal line, backhanded it into the roof of the net from a bit of distance. And it all seemed to happen in slow motion right in front of us, but it was an absolutely wonderful goal. And this is a player who can do that. This is a player who can change a game like that, and really a player who can, you know, who was great for the Giants last season. Had his down moments where he sort of, in my opinion, you know, vanished, but more often than not was one of the players that was, you know, a leading point scorer and a leading Brit.
Yeah, I mean, he's got great hands, and I think that comes across. And you see the coach, and if you're on the website, and you know, we're just trying to get the grips of these players. That some of Christensen's comments are about how exceptional he is on the face-offs, and that's always handy to have, especially from someone who's maybe going to be further down the lines. That winning the puck off the face-offs is obviously a huge part of being successful, especially when you're trying to attack and if you're on the power play. So, you know, he's going to be a crucial player. Like you say, I'd like to see him turn some more of those down moments where he's sort of skating around, not really knowing, well, not really getting involved as much as you would like him to. I'd like to see him turn some more of those moments into positives. But it's all a learning curve. I have to remember, especially with these Brits, they're all just so young. I mean, they might have played a lot of top level hockey, but they still have so much of an opportunity to improve over the next 5 and 6 years.
Yeah.
And so like we've said with every local player, we really hope that they can take the opportunity and work hard and get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a great opportunity for Garside, and a great opportunity for the Giants as well to develop that strong core of British players that could be, you know, could lead to a championship winning team, because that such a thing is just really important in all sides. You can see that from Sheffield's past winning teams, and hopefully that's something that we can develop and hold on to, and maybe develop some sort of, you know, sort of a running core that could help us dominate for seasons to come. Yeah, maybe a bit of a over exaggeration there, but you know what I mean.
For at least one year.
Well, that's the imports. Sorry, the imports. What am I talking about? That's the.
We started talking about the imports. We'll be here to tomorrow.
Oh, we will be. Yeah. So I think that's the Brits dealt with, and over the next few uh, few episodes, we'll hopefully get over the imports and maybe have a look at the structure of the league, because there's been quite a few changes across the league. But for now, we'll bring you a bit of an interview that I had with Nottingham Panthers fan and Empresario of the Cat's Whiskers blog on the web is Jono Bullard. And I began by asking Jono what he thought of the Panthers' success last season.
Yeah, well, I think in the end it was a really good season. And if I think ask any fan in sort of December, January time that we was going to win two trophies by the end of it, I think they'd have called you mad. But I don't know, something seemed to just happen and galvanise the team. And I think a lot of credit has to go to Rick Strachan, because defensively in the second half of the season we were much, much better. And that certainly played a big part in winning both cups last season.
Yeah, there was a significant disquiet amongst the some of the faithful of the NIC, not least on the cage. But rather than display your disquiet towards the GM or the coach, you went straight to the top.
Yes, with Elliot's letter to Neil Black. Yeah, very interesting, and it seemed to have the desired effect, because it was noticeable that after that was written and after we put it on the Cat's Whiskers, things seemed to change, and change for the better. So I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of people laughing at it and saying, "Oh, you're arrogant," but there are a lot of really angry fans last season. And I think it had been brewing up for a few seasons, and Elliot decided to do something about it and send a letter. And I believe Neil Black actually rang him and spoke to him for a good couple of hours, and you know, talked about everything in the letter. And well, the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, I'll not act dumb and say I wasn't aware, but I have to say I was one of the ones that thought that it seemed pretty arrogant going straight to the top and not actually maybe consulting the likes of Gary Moran. Did you not think you'd get any sort of response if you went through the lower level channels?
Well, I can't. I mean, I can't really speak for Elliot, because it was all he's doing. But I mean, I have no idea. I think there's a perception in Nottingham that Neil Black is far more approachable than what Gary Moran is. How true that is, I don't know. But so, like I say, he decides to go straight to Neil, and obviously from that's when I got the interview with his son Jamie, which caused a few more ripples, shall we say, especially with a certain Mr. Bob Phillips. But that's a totally different story altogether.
Bob Phillips. Yeah, so like you say, a lot of things changed, and Rick Strachan came in and became a more defensively minded team, which kind of baffles me considering who your coach was initially. But Mr. Nielsen sticks around for another season alongside Mr. Strachan. And is that a good thing in the eyes of the Panthers fans?
Yes, I think it is. I think. To be fair to Corey Nielsen, after what happened, he is the head coach. He won two trophies out of three. It would have been pretty harsh not to give him another contract, in my opinion. And as much as I'm not a particular fan of his coaching style, I think Strachan complements it by just calming down and having a pair of eyes on the bench that can see where things are going wrong, and you can change things during a game from the bench. And there was a particular game against Coventry last season where we went to the Sky Dome and absolutely buried them 5-1. Yeah. Didn't look uncomfortable during the entire match, but we played a perfect road game, brilliant defensively, and just caught them on the break. And they had no answer to us going forward, but they also had no chance of breaking through at the back, and it's something I'm not seeing from a Panthers team in an awful long time. So it was very, very welcoming to see, and I hope that they can bring a similar similar tactics this season.
And to once again lift the playoff trophy in your own barn must be. I assume you never get tired of that.
No, not at all. And I think the other great thing about the playoffs this year is when we won it in 2007, it was a fantastic celebration because it had been so long since we'd won it. But they were two very tense, very nervous games in the final. Finals. This one was completely different. Two absolutely fantastic games of hockey. And the game against Sheffield in the semi-final is probably one of the best I've ever seen. Just two absolutely committed teams really going for it, and it just produced a fabulous game. And then the final itself was again just another great game. So I think that there was an awful lot of satisfaction from winning the playoffs this year because it was against two excellent teams, the top two teams in the league last season, and to win it the way we did from coming back from two goals behind in both games was just extra special.
And no penalty shots needed this time?
No penalty shots needed.
Oh, well, let's look at this season. Like I say, Mr. Nielsen and Mr. Stracken still around, but some notable exits, not least. A personal favourite of mine, he said, Mr. Jade Galbraith.
You'll end up in Belfast, you know.
Oh, please don't.
Yes, Mr. Galbraith. Even now, I still don't know how I feel about it because, I mean, we've spoken many times in the past and I would still regard him as, on his game, probably the best player in the league. Just a great player, but then there's the times where he's off his game, and that's where all the problems kick in. No more so than in Belfast last season, which was highly documented, highly publicised. And I mean, personally, if that had been me, I'd have cut him from the team after that.
Yes,
but he was kept on, and. I don't know. You have to ask yourself, you know, can you afford to lose a talent like that? But at the same time, you also have to say, is someone like that dragging the rest of the team down with the way he is behaving off the ice? It's just a very, very difficult question. I mean, he is one of the players that I would happily pay to watch. Play hockey because he plays it exactly how I like to see it being played, but at times he could be really infuriating to watch, especially when he gave the impression that he couldn't be bothered or he was going out and getting drunk or whatever. And you know, it's just, after three seasons, is it time for a change? But you know, if he had been re-signed, I probably wouldn't have been too upset. It's just really, really difficult. However, you know,
I think
we'll see what happens.
I fully agree with you. I think that on his day, he is probably the most skillful playmaker and finisher in the league. And and that's probably one of the reasons I hated him so much, is the fact that he knows he is that good. And any time he would score, especially against us, I always noticed a smug little grin of, you know, that was easy. But you've got to hand it to a guy who, to put it bluntly, scored against the Stanley Cup champions last season.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You could see the guy had all the skill in the world. But then the other way you've got to look at it is, if he was on his game every night, would he be playing in the Elite League?
And very true.
I doubt he would.
Very true, very true. Well, look at the team as it is now. I think I'd be amiss before I ask you about your own highlights, not to mention the acquisition of Brandon Benedict from my own Belfast Giants. In my opinion, that's a great pickup for you.
I think it's a great signing. And I also think the other great pickup is Scott Champagne, who played together, I think, three out of the last four or five seasons in Denmark and in North America. So you've got two thirds of a line already there, because these two guys know exactly how each other play. So I think that they're two really, really good pickups. And I think Benedict, well, we all saw how good Benedict was when he was playing for Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, really good two-way centre, 100% player, really gritty. I mean, one of the best signings we made in the close season.
One thing that really stands out above all else is the fact that there aren't that many new faces. The core of the team that won the two trophies last season is more or less there, barring the likes of Galbraith, Billy Ryan, and Rob Bellamy. But a lot of the there are a lot of names there that are recognisable to a lot of the fans in the Elite League, not least Craig Kowalski coming back for another season. You got Lapine, Billy Myers,
etc. That was a huge signing. Kowalski was a huge signing, because I mean, in my opinion, I think he was the best netminder in the league last season. And I mean, you can say what you like about Mustikov, but I thought he was helped out a lot by his defence.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Kowalski didn't have that sort of help from his defence, but was still coming up big most nights. So yeah, I mean, I think that was a huge re-signing for us. And also, I like the look of the D this season, because he's only Nielsen, who's really an offensive forward.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilson and Lapine are both stay at home. Myers is stay at home, and Stevie Lee is stay at home. So I think there's definitely been some of Rick Strachan's influence on the defensive makeup.
Was the return of Lapine a surprise, given his the problems that were last season?
It was more of a surprise, because there was a lot of rumours not long after the playoffs that he was returning to North America to play in the AHL.
Mm.
So when it was announced that he was re-signing, it was a very, very big surprise. I mean, I think after what happened last season, he did change his game slightly.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't tend to have any detriment on it. So I think after the incident with Silverthorne of Hull, I don't think he got called. He didn't get called at all.
Mm.
He obviously got called for fighting and the odd minor, but there was no bad hit, or what were perceived as bad hits. I thought they were perfectly good hits, but that's open to debate. So I think he slightly changed his game. He wasn't checking as much, but I'm really, really pleased he's re-signed.
And one thing,
and especially as we seem to be lacking elsewhere throughout the squad with a real tough guy, so he'll be playing that role as well.
One thing that's always apparent, especially in Nottingham, amongst other sides, is that British core. And you always seem to retain the likes of David Clark, the Myers non-brothers, Dan Green in goal, Mark Leavers, Stephen Lee, players that are always there, thereabouts, and always provide great service to the Nottingham Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same British lineup as last season, with the addition of Matthew Maynard, coming from the Nottingham Lions. But I think he'll be taking more of the Tom Norton role, who's I think he's gone to Telford, I believe. So he'll see more ice time in the EPL anyway, and it's time for somebody else to come up and have a few shifts and see how they get on, and hopefully they can improve and move on to some more ice time in the EPL. So he's really got a good chance to show us what he can do. But as for the rest of the Brits, I mean, it's the same again. It's Myers, Clark, Mark Leavers. I think Mark Leavers is one of the most understated forwards that we've got. Really good penalty killer, really, really good defensive forward. And when he does score, it's generally a very, very big or important goal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he's another really important re-signing. And then, of course, there's Robert Lakovic, who really did burst onto the scene in the second half of last season. I mean, he was playing on a line with Ryan and Bellamy and just didn't look out of place on there at all.
Mm.
Really, really good player. Really, really good talent. And he's still only 20 years old, so Yeah. You can only get better.
When you look at this team, do you see, I'll bring up those infamous numbers of 1, 9, 5, 6. do you see a team, and when you look around the league actually, and okay, all teams aren't in yet, and a lot of teams looking for those last pieces of the puzzle. Nottingham having, as always, put their team together pretty early. Maybe have a time to come together in condition. How do you see this team fitting into the setup of the season to come?
I've looked at the team and the players have signed. I've looked at them all together. I actually don't think we have signed a bad player this season. They all seem really good players, but there's no actual superstar as there have been previously. There's been often with the Panthers, you get one or two real standout players. I don't see that this time, and I think that'll probably be for the better, because there's no real go-to. It looks like they're all just look really good players with a great pedigree. I suppose you could argue that of all of them, probably Harima with his NHL background, but and he was awesome in the playoffs, but he didn't really show as much of that during the regular season. So, I mean, I was very, very glad he re-signed, because I think he'll have a bigger role on the side this season, having come in from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Beauregard, who was personally for me my player of the year for the Panthers last season, just a great hard-working player, scores a load of goals. Every team should have one, as far as I'm concerned. I think he's just. Even at 35, I think he still has the potential to be one of the top scorers in the league. I think we'll certainly challenge. Whether we'll win it, well, you know, what's another year? But I think we'll certainly challenge for it.
What's your opinion of the league so far? Of course, we've got Fife coming this season to take in where we've unfortunately lost the Newcastle Vipers. Did you feel that the league's stable enough, and that the fact that Fife want to come in shows that there are enough people interested in the elite league to help it develop further?
I hope so. I mean, it's not been a great off season as far as there's a lot of rumours and conjecture, and I don't think it's been helped by everything that Bob Phillips has been putting on hockey leagues. And the thing is with all that as well, it's like, what do you believe?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's like, Bob Phillips hasn't been the most reliable of owners over the past few years. So I tend to take it with a pinch of salt. But, you know, then you look at other things that are going on and you do think, hang on a minute, is there some truth to this? So it's very, very difficult to know exactly what's going on, or who's telling the truth, or what's actually happening. And I think that will obviously have an unstabling effect on the whole league. But it's like you say, if a team like Fife, who probably came across in the past as very anti-elite league, especially after what happened when the BNL folded.
Yes.
If they're coming into the league, then can it really be that bad? Because I don't think they make a decision to come into the elite league if it was all about to collapse. I just can't see that.
I think that my opinion of the old Bob Phillips thing is sometimes it comes across as a sort of just inane ramblings of a man who's very bitter about the way things ended for him in Sheffield, and it's quite unfortunate because some of the groundbreaking information that were promised didn't really transpire. It just seemed to be a lot of nothing.
Mm. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. You know, it's just like, well, where are all these groundbreaking stories and revelations you're talking about? And it's like, I think most people had some idea anyway, and I think it's just basically 80% of it seems to have been written to have a go at Paul Reagan.
Yeah.
if I'm honest. But, there you go.
But the and speaking of the team down the road, and of course you've got your good lady, who's a Sheffield fan, was probably wallowing in the league win. So there's a lot of trophies in that household. The how do you feel the rivalry between the two teams, you two teams, will just continue and be the usual?
I think it'll just continue and be the usual insults and the usual rubbish that seems to sell tickets. So there you go. I think they look reasonable. I think they're lacking forward-wise, but they seem to be building a very good defence once again. And they've got an unknown netminder. So, I think if DiCaro comes in and plays brilliantly, I think they stand as good a chance of ending up competing. I think if DiCaro isn't the real deal, then I think they might sort of head more mid-table. But I think a lot depends on him and who the final defenceman is. But if their defence is sound and the netminder is pretty good, then they'll be up there challenging as well, I think.
And lastly, we can't let you go without asking about the season and the Cat's Whiskers. Of course, you're the man behind the infamous Cat's Whiskers blog. What can we expect this season? The usual mirth and merriment and jabs at Sheffield?
More of the same, I mean, let's face it. The great thing about Sheffield is they give me plenty of material to go at. So. But yes, there'll be the usual things. TCW Live will start again in the new season. And
it's been very successful, as the TCW Live. You've been getting a lot of readers.
Yeah, it was so after Christmas it really, really started taking off, and we was getting, even for home games, we were getting over 1,000 people watching, and then sort of in the region of 2,000 for away games. So it's been amazing, really. But we've got a couple more people on board for next season, so we can try and cover as many games as possible. So, but it'll be pretty much the same thing, the same coverage, the same format, and plenty of digs at Sheffield throughout the season, as you well know.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us, Jono.
No problem.
As usual, I'd like to wish you good luck for the season, but that doesn't usually end up being sincere.
No, and I wouldn't expect anything else.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem at all. Cheers, mate.
Yep, and that's thanks to Jono. Always good to chat with Jono. He's also he's always a guy who's well clued in on all things. He's usually quite balanced. I really recommend having a look at the Cat's Whiskers blog. It's the fanzine blog. It's hilarious at times. It really is the thoughts of what is a true Panthers fan and a guy who understands what it's like and doesn't get carried away. One thing to mention, Fish, is the fact that you and Jono had something in common a couple of weeks ago, played in the UK Forum All-Stars competition at Ice Sheffield.
That's right, yeah. Fantastic weekend it was. Went over with fellow Forumite Bill 00, who's now my housemate as well, actually. In a strange turn of events, the crazy people you meet through ice hockey. we travelled over on the Saturday morning, on the Friday night, we took the ferry. And landed in and drove from Liverpool to Sheffield. Met up with our good friend Mark Hitchcock and played the games. And just before I even start talking about the weekend, to say well done and congratulations to David Grant and his mother and to Shugra from the Vipers people and everybody else. I can't remember everyone who was involved in running the weekend, but it was absolutely superb from start to finish. The games were well run. There was always someone to referee it. The rules were actually perfectly created for that level of hockey, so that there didn't have to be stoppages every 2 minutes, and they weren't blowing for icing every time the puck went up the ice. We just basically let the kids play. Morey Hansen should have been taking a leaf out of that book, but it was a great weekend. Everyone got, I think it was four games in the group stages, and then the two top teams went through to a final, and the other teams played off in a round robin for the B tournament, mm-hmm. which my team won. So it was great crack night. Bill and myself had a good bit of personal rivalry in that they beat us in the league game, and then in the round robin we managed to beat them to win the competition. So fantastic weekend, I keep saying it. So I would really recommend, I see David Grant has a few posts out about the forums already for next year, and if you have any chance of being in Cardiff next year for the tournament, I really recommend it. It's a great cause. I'd say there was maybe the guts of 200 people in and out on the Saturday watching it, which is great for the players on the ice as well to look up and see a few bodies in the seats. I met some great people. The standard, you know, if anyone's thinking of maybe travelling over and they're not sure about the standard, was saying to Paddy before we started recording, there were people like myself who are not very good at all, but were, you know, trying to take it at least a wee bit competitively. And then there were some people who were, you know, just below EPL standard, or some EPL players who were able to turn it on and off whenever they saw fit. But for the most part, it all evened out around the middle. There was a wee 7-year-old kid, I think, playing for one of the teams. You know, it was 9-90, and it was fantastic, really good. So I recommend it for anyone next year.
Yeah, it definitely is a really worthwhile cause and really worthwhile event. I know I attended the one. I didn't play. No way.
There's always next year.
Always next year. I actually did consider playing this year, but anyway, that's a different story. I went down to Cardiff last year for that one. The events conspired against me going this year. But it was a fabulously run event. A lot of crack. A lot of people you see maybe once a year playoffs, but you get to see again over the summer, and you have a bit of a laugh. You go out for a few drinks that night, and you know, it's all a hell of a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, it does raise a hell of a lot of money for various charities, which is the main reason for it. And I know that Dave and all those guys put in a hell of a lot of work as well to make it happen. And fair play to them. It's a great event and one I look forward to going to next year in Cardiff again. Of course, I don't get to the ones close by. No. I have to go to one in Cardiff. Yeah, and then wake up the next day probably with a bit of a hangover and try to get back up to Manchester again. Yeah, that's...
Well, these are decisions we make in life, Paddy.
Well done, Patrick. But, yeah, absolutely brilliant.
And I think the fundraising total for the weekend between the five or six charities and the people paying in, I think it reached nearly 10 grand. So it's very worthwhile. But once you start getting everyone's totals added up, it really does start to make a difference for people. So I'm sure if you get in touch with David, you'll not be turned away. Yeah. If you're interested in playing, so I definitely recommend you to make that effort.
Yeah, and for information on that and everything we've talked about, if you want to make a comment over the on what we've talked about in this first edition back of Views from the Bridge, the forum's the best place to go at www.kingdomofthegiants.com. It's been enjoyable, mate.
Yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, let's do this again soon. Hope so. I think that over the next couple of weeks, we're trying to get together a few interviews, a few chats. We'd like to know what your views are. podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com or to our Twitter feed, which is @AVFTV, A View from the Bridge, AVFTV on Twitter. Trying to get a Facebook page set up for all this sort of, you know, this sort of social networking things in the future, mate.
Well, sounds good. Yeah, hit us up on Twitter. I think I have a Twitter account somewhere there, so I'll look out for you on Twitter.
Yep, you're on Twitter. @AVFTB is a great way of getting in touch with us. We'll keep an eye on it. I know that a few guys have been giving us a few ideas for what they want to hear this season, and a few volunteers for coming on the podcast, so we'll certainly be taking up a lot of those on their offers.
And if you do want to come on and argue with us or talk about something you feel passionate about, you won't be told to F off, you know. we will take all arguments, and we will consider all offers. So if there's something you feel passionate about, maybe we could try and reinstitute the rant line, which I know was relatively popular a few seasons ago. So it'd be good to hear more from people, because we do know people listen, because we do see the download figures. So mm-hmm. we We know you're there, and if you disagree or you agree, get in touch and come on, and we'll have a chat.
Absolutely,
I'm always right, so.
Well, as am I, so that doesn't really work. unless we agree. No, yeah, absolutely, very welcome. I think, so I think that'll draw us to a close, mate. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in the next couple of weeks, and this has been A View from the Bridge.
Bye.